Hi, my name is Rob, and this is my weekly podcast. Each week, I sit down with a different guest, and we talk about things that you have been up to in the fandom. Are we going to talk about everything? Of course not. It's only an hour. Will we communicate effectively? It's a wheel of time. Probably not. But will we have fun? Most definitely. Welcome to Malkir's Wrap-Up. Hello, folks. Welcome back to Malkir's Wrap-Up. This week, I am sitting down with two fellas I have not sat down with for a very long time. So please welcome to the podcast this week, the glorious Mihails of the Black Tower podcast, Andrew and Josh. How are we doing, gentlemen?
How do you do, sir? I am quite well this fine day.
Good, good.
Doing good. I am doing better for having your voice sing in my ears.
your name sings in our ears.
Well, now that is... That is too much. Pre-show, I was complimenting Andrew on his tash. I feel like he is just paying that forwards in return.
It's a cruel feedback loop of compliment to compliment to compliment.
Yeah. So. I mean, that's how it should be. That's how it should be. So, guys, it's been a hot second. How you been? You've had the fifth gathering? How many gathering madnesses now has it been?
That was the fifth.
The fifth. I was right. Okay. Yep.
You know, we missed a whole Aiel joke about like the fifth, like having a whole Aiel themed gathering madness. What was wrong with us?
I don't know. Well, we can do it. No, because this is, we are doing season five. Damn.
Yep.
Damn.
Mm. Damn.
Now you see, you've just inspired me because the fifth Malkiricon will be Aiel themed.
Yes. You're welcome.
Thank you. I'm stealing that one. Becky, you're listening. Help us out. So.
that was our plan all along.
We might actually be saved because we're still in our fifth. This is our fifth year.
Oh.
So this entire year, we're taking the fifth from everybody we can. That's why we're trying to have guests on so much.
Yes.
I love it. Perfect. Guys, when was the last time we actually sat down and recorded anything together? And we just lost Andrew.
When was the last time? I'm trying to remember.
It's been a long time since we sat down and chatted to each other, isn't it?
Yeah,
on a podcast, or even a live show.
I will say probably my favorite one is the third Gathering Madness with that beautiful number three cake.
Well, that was the second Gathering Madness.
Second. I knew that. Yes.
Do you know the frosting for that cake? To give you context, folks, if you're not aware of this. So in the second Gathering Madness, so 3 years ago, this was obviously during lockdown. The guys had the Gathering Madness. Obviously, I couldn't attend. So I decided I would bake a cake. And I made... I can't remember. Did I just do the letter two? The number two?
No, you had it right. Yeah, you did the letter two.
The letter two, yeah. We'll call it that. And then I made like three different kinds of frosting. Oh, no, I did like the flame. I can't remember what I did.
You did a dragon's fang.
A dragon's fang.
And you had an exorbitant amount of frosting.
Yes.
Heavy alcoholic frosting.
Drink after that cake. Now you can just eat the frosting.
Yeah, I made an exorbitant amount of frosting. It was highly alcoholic. Obviously, it was during lockdown. I was living alone, so I was just making this to show the guys. And then I think I managed about half the cake before I was like, I really can't do this anymore. and I made three different types of frosting. There was a bourbon one, a rum one, and a whiskey one, flavored frostings. And I had like lots of each left over, so I put them in like Ziploc bags and put them in my freezer. I was like, I'll use them again at some point. Yeah, taint frosting. It was, well, I mean, that's kind of what it was. It was like taint flavored frosting. So it was, yeah, that was the goal. I left them in my freezer. I was like, I'll use them again at some point. And they stayed in my freezer for like another 2 years until I moved.
So until really you sorry, were finally guys. Like, nope, we're done with this.
Yeah, I never got a use for them, but yeah, that was a fun time. But I am trying to think of the last time we recorded, and it's not. I cannot remember.
Oh,
which just means it's been way too long.
Andrew's got all the organizational skills, so he can go back and check our scheduling for the last like several years.
Nice. He's got a sexy spreadsheet, as they say.
It is an exceptionally sexy spreadsheet. as only the Bijan Mihail can concoct.
This is true. This is true. Go for a sec.
I was just going to say, I do love a good spreadsheet, and I use the spreadsheet for all kinds of things. One of my favorite being character creation. I can put all the stats in there, make a little chart to see if the character is well-rounded or balanced in any particular areas. I get a visual representation of, do I have any missing characteristics or attributes? You know, it's a lot of fun. I like putting in my budget in a spreadsheet because it calculates everything out. But, like, that's it. Like, that's the end of my spreadsheet-iness. And
this is what I use them for, because I just found it. So the last time that I have on the spreadsheet that we had you on the show for an episode was our Season 3, Episode 11, where it was you, Jim from Fantasy for the Ages, and Morgan from Podcast of the Dragon, and us talking about the Wheel of Time TV show finale.
Wow. Okay. So that went
public like 7 January 2022.
So it's been 22 months? .com. Yeah. Wow. Okay, I need to scroll back.
So we did that. I feel like we've been somewhere else other than What a Holiday.
I don't really feel
like I've been at What a Holiday because I keep missing my segments.
There's the one famous year where we just completely.
Was that the second year? I feel like
yeah. Yeah. And Black Tower's coming on any minute now.
Yeah, any minute then, now. Who was it? Who was on before you guys? They hung out for like an extra. Extra 30 minutes.
I think it was Nord Harbor and Andralf, Bard of Time.
Yeah, they hung out, and then and then I think whoever was on next came early as well. You were like, one of you thought it was got your like the time difference wrong. One of you just had the time wrong completely, and someone fell asleep.
That was me. I fell asleep. I was still asleep, I think. I think Daniel maybe had forgotten like the time or gotten the time conversion wrong. I don't know. I don't have to convert time because we do it in ESP. Yeah.
If I get the time conversion wrong,
it's really bad.
I think Dan got the time wrong. Josh, you converted it wrong.
Something
like that. And then Andrew.
Because I was like 2 hours after our time slot. Yes. And I'm like,
oh no, yeah, it was
sitting down at my computer and I'm messaging Andrew and Daniel and I'm like, all right, you guys ready to rock this thing? And like, it was like, no. That was 2 hours ago. And I was like, oh shit.
I think it was those messages that woke me up.
Probably.
It's like whenever you're late for work or like late for class in college, you wake up and just immediately oh no
oopsie. So that's a lot of fun. You guys have a slot this year though, don't you?
We do. I think we're shutting it down.
I think we should confirm it all right now to be safe.
What? It's not like we have a history of this or anything.
I mean, yes, you have the last. You guys have the last slot. You're bringing us home, the 7 p.m. slot on Sunday Eastern. So, yeah.
I want to let everybody know we will not be auctioning off hair this year.
That's great. Let's start a discussion there. Let's talk about the guy you auctioned off hair and What a Holiday. What Holiday's coming up, folks. If you're listening, What a Holiday is, if you're listening on release date or any time short afterwards, What a Holiday is like 7 days away, less, depending on when you listen. So, this was the third year you did turn up and you auctioned off hair. Tell us about that.
Oh, we did it the first year was the big one.
Did you give away hair on the first year? Smell hair.
That's kind of what started it, because the first year, Josh and Daniel decided they were going to auction off like their mustaches.
I went full Ilioner.
Yeah, going for the Ilioner look, and I had only been growing the beard for like less than a year or so at this point, maybe a year and a half, and I was very adamant, like, no sharp objects will touch this beard in the slightest. Like, it will not happen. So obviously the better choice was to auction off the hair on my head.
Right.
So I went out like earlier that week, got a full regular haircut to where I had like relatively short crew cut hair. And then I didn't do it during our segment. I came back on when Matt Hatch was on for Dusty Wheel.
I remember
to fulfill the reward where people we raised enough and I did the Kyrian cut.
Yeah, didn't you like shave the front, and then you got like a giant handful of baby powder and punch. We need to find a clip of this.
Whom do you serve? Yeah. Saruman.
He fully smacked this like giant handful of baby powder across his head.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant.
Well, it's because
that needs to be a gift right there.
There was an actual thought that it should be.
Oh my god, it really should be. Where's Morshadi? Come on.
My whole thought process was like, if I just put just enough on to actually do a normal powder of the forehead, you'll probably won't really see it on camera because I had like really bad lighting. Not that I have the best lighting now. And I was just like, it's not going to go well. So how will people know? Obviously the solution is to create a smoke screen in front of the camera and just like slap myself in the like forehead with half a cup of it wasn't even like, it was just regular like body powder, like the kind that you, like you use for like anti-chafing.
So good. So
it's like sitting there like nice and cold on my head, and I'm just sitting there like, this is great.
Matt I think Matt wasn't really sure what to make of it at first, was he? That was amazing.
I think that was one of his like first real interactions with me too. So it's like, hey, I'm this guy from Black Tower Podcast and I'm gonna shave my head.
Oh god, that was a fun year. I mean, they've all been fun, but yeah, that was the year we used Zoom and OBS, so it was an interesting experience all around for everybody.
That was also the one that like got put together within like 2 weeks.
Yeah. So folks, if you want a bit of history, Andrew got inspired by the Talkastathon that happened.
Yeah, like, when they did their
June, July.
Yeah, they did like the Twatcastathon. It's like June or July,
something like that. And then you were like, "Hey, shall we do another one?" And I was like, "If we don't reopen thanks to COVID, I'm happy to help this." And then I think like a week later, all the COVID restrictions were kept in place here in the UK. And I said, "Andrew, I can do this." And then somehow roped myself into staying up for 30 hours to run the whole thing.
I haven't figured it out already. Like, Rob is the MVP of every WADA holiday.
Oh, well, okay, right, fine. Yeah, I'll give you that one. I thought you'd be like, of everything. I'm like, definitely not everything. WADA holidays, like, I don't know. I just, I enjoy it a lot, and I end up just doing most of it. But we have a great time. So, do you have any teasers of what you think you might get up to this year?
Well, we can say one thing for sure. We do have a map that has been signed by most, if not all, of the WattCon attendees. That will be auctioned off, right, Andrew? Am I correct in that?
It'll be like an overall WADA holiday thing, so that won't be just during our segment.
But is it going to close out during our segment?
Oh, actually, that works out. That's definitely why we chose the last segment and no other reason. That's what happened.
Look how organized we are.
So yeah, that'll be really cool because it's also got like Kate Redding's signature on it. It's got Matt Hatch's. It's got a Readopedia from What Spoilers. Josh and I signed it. Rob, I think you signed it as well.
I definitely did sign it, yes.
Yeah. Especially after we made the rounds of like, hey, it's going to be given out at WADA Holiday.
Kind of should sign it if that was the case.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Maria Simmons signed it as well.
Yeah, I believe.
And
I saw
then they just put out a book recently related to the Wheel of Time. Very small book. Definitely not anybody knows.
It's
Dr. Michael Livingston.
Yeah, that guy.
He signed it as well. It's pretty dope.
He's like, I don't know. He studies history or some shit. I don't know.
History, something about battles and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Something.
Something about working on the book and
distinguished.
Like, talking with like Harriet and Maria and Alan and everybody about it is crazy.
These people. That's going to be cool. I look forward to that. That's a big map as well.
It's also one of one.
So one of one.
A printing error.
Oh yes. I do remember Rob telling us about that. So we have that. Will there be any shaving of bodies, gentlemen?
I mean, I can, but I'd have to show it on Only Taint.
You could join North Harbor Podcast if they had. I think they didn't get a slot in the end because all the overnight slots were taken. So Reese is listening in. Sorry, Reese. Maybe you can join the BTP guys and. Volunteer, yeah. I don't know, shaving an eyebrow or something.
We'll see if the idea we have jives with anything you want to do. And by idea we have, it's definitely the one that we have already planned and definitely haven't not thought of one.
Right. Yes. I do have some Taint 2.0 that I might be making sure goes out to a good home.
Nice. I love that. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be another great year. But let's talk a bit more about you guys. That's why I've asked you here tonight. We get to know the people that come and join me. Despite the fact it's been years, interacted lots over those years. So I know you guys a little bit, but some folks might not know some of these things. So, maybe Andrew, you might kick us off with how you found the Wheel of Time.
I didn't find the Wheel of Time. The Wheel of Time found me, as it so often does. It's like a gravity well, a Tavirin, if you would. It just kind of pulls you into the pages. I had just finished reading through Deathly Hallows, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. And that was the book series that Mom and I read together all the time, and where, you know, we would fight over who gets to read the book because we shared a book all the way until the last one.
Wow.
Nice.
And then that time I actually had money, so I was able to buy us both a book and surprise her with it. Not that we could never do that before, but, you know, it was nice just to do it. So, we always used to have, like, duels with, like, our bookmarks. Like, she would be ahead of me, and then I would, like, go past her. It was, like, the world's slowest Mario Kart race.
I love that. Bouncing back and forth.
But yeah, so finished all of that and then went down to my grandparents' place about an hour and a half away from where I grew up. And they had some family over, and I didn't know that one of my cousins was actually like a pretty big fantasy novel nerd. And I mentioned that, you know, I needed to find something else to read in the fantasy genre. And he's like, cool, come over, went over, and he pulled out like six or seven different books. And the cover of The Eye of the World caught me. This is like the original cover with, you know, Lan in full armor and two swords on his back
and Nicolas Cage
looking like Cage. Padme. Yeah, all of this. And I was like, that looks interesting. And I made it through it, and about halfway through the book, I was just like, yep, no, this is my series. Because he told me there was a few more books. When I started, I had no idea that there was a time. I think there was like 9, maybe 10.
I don't think any of us were prepared for how many. Yeah.
Yeah. Nowadays, you know, all the newcomers to reading the series, the new published books have all the books on the back, you know, books 1 through 14.
Yeah, that's true.
You got one of the original ones, because he did let me borrow these. These were first edition paperback prints that he let me borrow. They gave no warning. No
nice.
Warning.
Yeah.
Nice.
And Josh, how did the Wheel of Time find you, or did you find the Wheel of Time?
You know, that's a really good question. So I was but a young teenage man in a young teenage lad in Amarillo, Texas. And life was beginning for me. I just graduated high school and or wait, I was still in high school. I don't know. It was that time frame of my life. And I had a friend who was a cranky old codger. Who talked?
Just put me in chat. Do you see what Andrew's just put in the chat? I'm really sorry. For context,
when I was a young warthog.
Yeah, that's what Andrew just put in chat. Sorry.
very nice. Thanks, Reese. Appreciate that. You're backing me up. I love it. No, this guy was the fencing teacher at the local community college. And, you know, we went to the same church at the time. And this man had a teeny tiny house. I mean, insanely small house. But in his front room, he had a 7-foot Yamaha grand piano.
Wow.
This thing was I don't know how he got it in there. I legitimately do not. And he said, oh yeah, in addition to fencing lessons, I give piano lessons. I was like, sweet. Well, a buddy of mine was like, oh yeah, I also, you know, hang out with him. I used to take piano lessons with him, but, you know, I've kind of grown out of that, or I've outgrown his lessons and I'm, you know, taking much more advanced lessons. And so all three of us are hanging out there one day and, they're talking about the latest book. And I'm like, oh, this sounds really exciting. What book is this? And because I'm also working at Hastings, I'm at the peak of my fantasy loving book. And they go, oh my gosh, Josh, you will love these books. You got to check these books out. And they didn't give me one, but they told me that The Eye of the World was the first book in the series and that I needed to start there. And I was like, okay, that's what I'm going to do. And I went to work the next day. I went to Hastings the next day. And you get, at the time, you got one free paperback book a week. That was like a perk of working there. And that was the beginning of my Wheel of Time journey. And as a fun side note, I checked on my Facebook memories the other day, and I had a 12-year-old memory of someone asking me, did you get the new book? No, I've been super busy. I'm not caught up. I still have to finish Crown of Swords.
Wow. That is very cool. Times. So you both found the book because of other people?
Yes. It was given. It was gifted to me.
I love that. It's always nice when you can, you know, you found Wheel of Time because someone else was like, you're going to love this. You should try Wheel of Time. Have you done that for other people? I am usually very unsuccessful with that. What is your success rate like?
Mine's been all right. I've only tried to evangelize my entire current work office. And at its height, excluding myself for having already read the series, there were only 2 out of 5 workers on my side that weren't reading it. One was doing audiobooks only, okay. Which he's now thrilled that Rosamund Pike is doing it because his reasons. But it was great to come in the office and he would just stare me down whenever something crazy had happened in the audiobooks. He would just stare at me like, how dare you not warn me? My boss started reading it on Kindle, and I have another coworker that is still in the office. He's a self-admitted slower reader, which is fine, but he is still reading it. I think he's almost to the end of Path of Daggers right now.
Wow. That's amazing.
Damn, son.
And Josh, how's your success rate? Like,
I'm not nearly that good. Holy shit. I used to tell people, here, look, here. This book right here. I'm going to show the prologue. You got to go to the prologue and read the prologue. And they'd be okay. And they'd read the prologue and they'd go, oh, that sounds interesting. And then I'd say, yeah. And then the book starts 3,000 years after that. And about half of them would be like, what? And the other half of them would be like, well, that's stupid. I'm not sure. I know of two people that I was able to convince them to finish the series. Because it was like, oh yeah, I started that. I kind of took a break because there was so much time between the book releases. And I just never picked it back up. And I was like, well, you need to finish it because I need IRL Wheel of Time friends.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I think I've given the book out 3 or 4 times, always unsuccessfully. Kayla read them because I'm passionate about them and she's a voracious reader. But she did that off her own regard. I didn't ask her to read them. My favorite success story is, it's like accidental getting someone to read the books. So, Village Mattress, which I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with Village Mattress. He's a wonderful guy. Recreated the Vannon's hot fish stew that I made on my YouTube channel at one point. Took it to work because his wife's not a... his wife took it to work for one of her co-workers because his wife is not a spicy food eater. They loved it so much, asked where they got the recipe. Long story short, they found the video as a result. Saw my passion for it and said, I'm going to read the books in response to this. And
that's awesome!
I actually, having said this, I need to check in with Village Matches to see how they've gone with it, so whether they actually finished or not. But yeah, I don't think I've ever lent the book out, like deliberately been like, you should read this, and had anyone like do it. So kudos for that, gents.
Your story is way better than mine. I've only sent out 3 paperback copies. I now currently only have a hardback copy of Eye of the World because I moved and I don't even remember who like one person is I lent it to. So somewhere out there, there's 2 people that may or may not still be in the Air National Guard or Air Force if they moved over to active that still have my books. And I would very much appreciate them. It's been years.
Well, I lost mine during moving multiple times. And so I bought a new paperback and then I gave it to my friend Null, who was on my podcast when I first started way back in the day because we worked together. And then we both changed jobs and we didn't record that often anyway, like I did in intermittent episodes of him. And oh God, it must be 18 months since I last spoke to him. I have no idea if he finished the book. He definitely still has it or had it. He might have thrown it away. You never know. Or donated it, hopefully not thrown it away. But I don't have a copy of The Eye of the World as a result.
I did buy a paperback copy of the mass production cover Eye of the World specifically to be able to lend out.
Nice.
Because I'm like, once I get my hands back on my paperback with the old original cover, I am never letting them go again.
I have purchased Winter's Heart 3 times.
Wow.
Because I borrowed it to someone and never got it back. So I'd go out and buy a new copy and then I'd borrow it out to someone and they wouldn't return it. And it was just like after the 3rd one, I was like, no, Bob, go get your own.
if they're at Winter's Heart, they should have been starting. They should have
Right.
the books by that stage. They shouldn't be borrowing the books off you. So, gosh.
Well, the first one was like it just come out and I'd read it. And they were like, oh my gosh, I don't have the money till payday. Can I borrow it? And then they just never gave it back.
Okay.
They're a bum.
I love that. at the beginning, we were talking about like fun things, like times we recorded together, a lot of holiday stories, things like that. There's been a lot of great moments over the course of the fandom, the last... three and a half years now. I think I would say April 2020 seems to be when it's sort of exploded a little bit in terms of people and numbers, and then shows crept in slowly after that over the following months. Do you guys have a favorite moment through all of that stuff? Is there anything that stands out? Be like, my God, I fucking love this moment. Josh, you're smiling.
Fandom wise or privately to us or specifically to us?
I mean, it can be either one, whichever you prefer to share.
Oh, I know what mine is, but it's specifically to us. I mean, some other people did it too, but
what's yours? Go. You go first.
Actually, I don't know. It's actually a bit of a tie between two for me.
I mean, that's okay. You can you can do both.
So chronologically, the first one is very early on for Black Tower, we reached out to Kate Redding and Michael Kramer to have them come on. And it was just Aaron and I at the time. And much to our surprise, they agreed. And turns out, apparently, we were the first ever podcast that they were on.
Nice.
It's also one of the very few non-Watt spoiler podcasts that we did, because we talked more about the process and their experience doing recording and their passions, that kind of stuff. And it was incredible. And since then, meeting them in person was just reinforced everything. More recently would have been whenever we got the nice little crumb that Amazon threw to us that we gobbled up readily because it was delicious, of letting us interview the fantastic Kate Fleetwood, which was incredible, but also horrible in a way, because how am I supposed to have bad feelings for Leandrin?
Right!
An absolute sweetheart.
And we did tell her that. We told her, you're making it really hard to hate this person, and we don't like her in the books. And she laughed. She thought it was funny.
Yeah, I'm feeling that with Massima. Like, Hotsima is...
Oh, yeah.
I just, yeah, there's a lot to admire about the guy, and I'm like, this is not going to end well, so, yeah. Josh, do you have any moments that differ from those? You did point to an object behind you.
I've got this box here.
Very shiny box there, I see in your background, that folks cannot see. Perhaps describe it for us.
It's with the inside was not the bloody horn of Valir.
Ugh, terrible.
But there were a number of other beautiful objects in there. That Amazon had sent us out, and we did a video, and it was, I think the thing that really stands out to me is I never, you know, and Andrew has said this many a time, you know, I never imagined that just jumping online one day and going, hey, look, there's a Wheel of Time podcast I can be a part of. Never imagined I'd be able to interview people from the show. Receive promotional materials from the show and have a you know, relationship, I guess you can say, with, you know, the Tweeter of Chaos and get that fan engagement from this. It's just been kind of surreal. Like, it's been kind of weird. Like, I find myself pinching myself every once in a while and being like, wow, is this really happening. This is really cool. And it's just been a wild ride of excitement after excitement after excitement. I remember, I guess this is a second. Andrew got two.
you can have two as well, Josh. It's okay.
My second favorite was when we went to JordanCon for the first time, all three of us. And I remember leaving JordanCon and going, we've ruined ourselves because we can't not miss another one. It was just such an amazing time. So many amazing people. And that first JordanCon, I will never forget walking in, feeling kind of overwhelmed, kind of intimidated, and being like, wow, this is big. You know, what's going to happen? I don't know. I've never been in a room with this many Wheel of Time fans ever. And I just have no idea what's going to happen. And Andrew and I standing there in the lobby, kind of looking around, and Matt Hatch is over there getting ready to set up like for a couch con. And he turns around, and he goes, oh, Josh, Andrew, comes over, gives us the biggest hug. And I'm like, hi, Matt Hatch.
Mom, get my little camera. Matt knows my name.
Let's see. I was starstruck with Matt. I was starstruck with Tom from Dragonmount. Don't tell him I said that. His ego's already huge. I was starstruck when I met Maria for the first time.
No, you were drunk when you met Maria for the first time.
Well,
that seems more accurate. Both.
That too.
A man can kill more than one thing stars at a time, Andrew. A man can kill more than one thing.
Okay, I was starstruck when someone looked at me and said, dude, the person you were sitting next to, that was Maria. And I went...
Do you know I have a story like this?
I remember the look of realization on his face, because he went from like just, you know, being the normal, typical Josh. Not that he really changed that much, but for a moment, he just kind of got really still and then went back to being himself, which was
fantastic. I love that. Josh, I have a similar thing happen to me at, was it my first Jordan Con? 2022.
One of the two, yeah.
Because 2021 was in July or something, was it? Was moved. Yeah,
so yeah, that was the COVID one. Yeah. And I think that was our first one.
Yeah, so the one after 22 was my first. And my co-host on Threefold Talk, because they know I used to do a big, like a pub crawl around London for my birthday, Monopoly was a couple of the ones we did. And they made Robopoly. They made like a, you know, Monopoly board that was Robopoly. And there were different things like, you know, get a content creator to sign this square, get a new friend to sign this square, you know, all these different things. Do a shot with someone, take a picture, things like that. And I was going around, I was talking to people in general. And I sat down in this group and talked to this guy for a second. I said, look, I need to, you know, I've got this birthday challenge thing. I need to get someone to sign the board. And, you know, like, would you consider signing the board and taking a picture with me? He was like, absolutely, no worries. So he signed the segment, made new friends, got chatting away. And he sort of looks at me and goes, do you know who I am? And I was like, no. Like, until I knew, obviously he told me his name. So I was like, no, anything more than you've told me right now, I don't know. And he's like, oh, okay. I'm Robert Jordan's nephew. I was like,
nice.
What? I was like, excuse me? I was just like, wow. Do you come to John Connor? Like, I come to all of them. I was like, wow. I was like, no idea what to say to that.
I can understand. The record now of having to pinch yourself.
Yeah, I can totally, yeah. I can appreciate that feeling. I wasn't drunk at the time, Josh, but, you know, it was like mid-afternoon. I was like, we're still working up to that point. So, you know.
Nice.
So you've had that. And then, of course, you've been to WattCon and everything. So you've met the people that come to WattCon. So like Kate Redding, Michael Kramer, Maria Simmons.
Maria is so much fun.
Party animal and then one of the nicest people ever.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But you know what? So we stole. We rescued from the ground at OGCon last year, not this year, the OG Street sign. It sits behind me. The guys can see it in the video feed. But I only had carry-on luggage when I went to that. So Leia, who was driving, drove it back to DC and brought it to JordanCon this year. And I took home my luggage. But she gave it to me on like the Sunday morning, I think. And we bumped into Maria at the same time. She's like, well, look, Maria, you remember OG, can't you? She's like, yeah. Well, like, we went to OG Street and look what we found. Like, and she's like, is that actually the sign from OG? She's like, wait. And before we knew it, she's like, of course it is. And of course you have it. And that's it. And that's Maria, just right there. She's like, yes, absolutely. Of course you had to rescue that. Yes.
Of course. Of course. God,
I don't think the UK has extradition agreement.
It doesn't. I am fully safe. Don't worry.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I'm debating. I was having an acting class in London in a few weeks. A few of us debating going, and I'm like, can I take the sign and a Sharpie and get him to sign it after the class, maybe?
Yeah!
That'd be awesome.
It would be. Anyway, sorry. We did meet, there's loads of people at WattCon. Meeting Maria and Michael and Kate is just incredible. I love doing that. So they're a lot of fun. And they're going to be there again this year, next year coming. So
yes!
Which I'm excited for. So
A lot of fun, exciting stuff happening.
Yeah. It's just so much fun. I love it. So.
Yeah. You've had a lot of fun because you you got to be in the audience kind of for the premiere, right? Or did you actually get to do the full premiere experience for season one?
Oh, for season one, no. So I just got invited. I mean, I'm still small potatoes, but I was very small potatoes back then. I got invited to go to the premiere itself. So I got to walk the blue carpet. I got to wave. Matt was really the only person I really knew at that stage. I'd met Critter and not Tom but Kathy and Jason from Dragon Mount at the pub the night before. Nablus was there. Obviously, I'd interact with Nablus, and so But like he was busy. I didn't know Dan at that stage. So I kind of just waved to a couple as I walked past on the blue carpet. And then we just got to sit in the screening and watch it from there. And or like all the big stars were right at the back and things like that. Amazon execs in the front, a lot of cast and things like that. Not a cast, sorry. I mean, a lot of crew around everywhere. So that's kind of how that works. Julia Howland sat in actually the same row as us. So that was really fun because her and I had interacted a lot.
Nice.
So, yeah, it was a very exciting time.
Then you just did something slightly cooler than that.
Wait, are you interviewing me now? Is that what's happening? are you Matt Hatching me right now? Because he does.
I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just bringing it up because like I know you've talked about it with some other folks, and obviously now that the strike's over, y'all are able to are comfortable putting out the content and everything about it and all that kind of stuff. And I haven't spoken to you since it. That's super cool. I remember like when I saw the picture of you standing in front of the Wine Spring Inn, I was like, oh, look, Rob photoshopped himself into a picture. I was like, that looks really cool. And that's definitely a Rob thing to do. And then I was like, you did a really good job with Photoshop. Then I'm like, all the dots started connecting. And I was like,
son of a bitch.
I felt like if you ever watched the Team Four Star Dragon Ball Z Abridged, I felt very much like Vegeta. I'd be like, huh. It's a new feeling, pride in someone else. We might have overshadowed by this unyielding jealousy.
Yeah. I was supremely lucky and very, very, very grateful. I haven't put it together a lot. I spoke about some of the stunt stuff we saw in the studio tour, Threefold Talk recently, but I haven't put together my videos and things yet. I've been working on MercuryCon stuff, and I've got to get all this stuff sorted before I can move on to the Prague videos. But yeah, Amazon. Very gratefully, very kindly, so gratefully on my part to be clear about that, very kindly offered to fly a bunch of us out to Prague because there could be no premiere, to be just a bunch of fans, basically. And we got to go visit the set of the Two Rivers. And there were like random actors in there just, you know, curing tobacco and forging weapons and, you know, all sorts of things like that. And then we got to see the first two episodes. We actually got to go inside the Wine Spring Inn itself and sit on like a whole bunch of seats set up and watch the first two episodes from within the genuine Wine Spring Inn, which was
so cool.
I had to once for each episode, I sort of just sort of stopped watching the episode and just looked around the room and was like, I'm inside the Wine Spring Inn right now watching Wheel of Time.
Damn.
Yeah, pretty That's sensational. That was one day, and then the following day they took us to the studios and we got to see some stunt work, which is what I talked about this week on Threefold Talk. Costuming, we got to walk around the wig department, and then we also got to go to their outside set for Tarvalon, which was filled with Sean Chan soldiers, so that was very entertaining. And we got to meet directors, producers, set designers, like Sharon, who's the costume designer. We got to meet her. She was incredible. Like, they actually came up to us as she's talking about stuff and we're asking questions. They were like, we need to kind of wrap this up and move along. There was like genuine people there on contracts with Amazon, like Instagrammers, TikTokers, like people right. with travel blogs, all that sort of stuff. Group of us were just literally there we were just taken across as fans. We didn't even have to do any content whatsoever. So, and they were like, we need to kind of wrap this up. And Sharon's like, yeah, okay. La, 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 la. She's like, they just wanted to talk and talk and talk. And apparently all the directors, everyone in production, they were so much more interested in meeting us than any of the others because they were like, these are the actual fans that have come around. And we ask much more interesting questions than the average person who's doing just a whole slew of content for various things. So that was, that was really incredible. And just got to hang out. The social team were lovely. They put us up in the most incredible hotel. Like the room was bigger than my house.
So that was I saw Critter's video of it and I was like, yeah. I agree. There is also nothing I like more than a fancy bathroom in a hotel.
Nothing against Critter. My room was better. I got a video.
Whoa!
Oh yeah. I showed them all. I don't know why.
Were you team hair or were you team hood?
I was team
hair. That's why.
I was team got a walking cane, so I feel like this dude needs a, they were like, this dude needs a shower, not just a tub. So, because like Kathy was like, wait, you have a separate shower? My shower and tub are the same. I was like, oh no, I got like a big, big, wide, five people can stand in it shower and a tub, double sink, you know, the whole fucking nine yards. I was like, I was spoiled. So, yeah.
No, but I love bringing that up, and I only do it now because it's been done to me a time or two for different reasons. But those of us that have been doing this for a while, not to construe it with people that have been doing this for, like, since the birth of the internet while, like, you know, Jason and Zellendom with Dragon Mountain Theoryland and everything. It definitely feels like we get a lot of like imposter syndrome or whatever. Like, and it feels that way. I know, like, whenever, even whenever the groups that answer emails with Amazon Studios and them, like, even respond to an email, like, I don't think Josh and I ever compete to be the first to read an email as much as whenever that happens.
Yeah,
but it's like, you know, when they were like, yeah, you can interview Kate and all this other kind of stuff. It's like, wow, that's incredible. How do we get to do this? We are, as you said earlier, small potatoes. And someone was like, when are you going to stop calling yourself small potatoes? Like, I'm like, never. Absolutely never.
Yeah, never. No.
It never feels real. Like, you could sit there and be like, you're going to be on the official after show. You're going to be an extra in like 16 episodes, whatever. And I'm still going to be like, yeah, no, small potatoes. Not that any of that has happened.
Not that any of that will happen.
Well, that's because the Black Tower hasn't been introduced yet.
That's right. And that's what I was just going to say. So, but when the Black Tower is introduced in the show, I'm manifesting, you know, background character. Ashaman number 13.
If we're not running around the set pelting the adoring crowd with pins, obviously safe pins, they'll be disappointed.
Safety pins.
It's safety pins.
It's a kinder, gentler Black Tower.
Yeah. I tell you, I'm still trying to you talk about manifesting for that. I'm still trying to manifest that they call Melindra and be like, we need you to come and just play Melindra because, you know, he is Mel your team. And I'm like, I'm manifest that so hard. I must have dropped that to like two or three different people when I was in Prague. Like, you know, it just needs to be a
nice thing.
They need to have the people that are so dedicated to their roles in fandom, like, go and be, not necessarily those characters, but like be in the show somewhere, like little Easter eggs for us. Like, that would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I'm convinced that that's why, like, that right now, every time they're like, okay, here's our big promo package, here's the funding we have to bring people out to look at the stuff, that every year they just take a very small chunk of that overall fund and set it aside because they know that when they bring us out there, we're going to bring them out.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, like 25% of this budget is going to go straight to Sailor Jerry rum handles.
That's the thing. We got to call Sailor Jerry and get like a Black Tower run of rum so that we can have that.
I love that.
Well, I'm aiming for the Quest in Dragon one.
The Quest.
There you go.
Yeah, we've got many years to make it happen because they're not even shipping out Paladin Plus One until like projected spring 2024. But that's neither here nor there.
Nice. So, so a lot of fun moments there, and you've partially interviewed me, so that's fun. but you did make me bring up like going to the premiere thing. It is 2 years since season one came out. Do you guys remember what you were doing during the premiere? Did you do anything special for it?
Yeah,
I did.
Actually we did. Well, we all kind of did, because all of us came out to Utah. Actually got to go and watch the early thing.
But yes,
the day that the first three episodes dropped.
Josh had already
seen the first two.
Right. So I went to the premiere party in Denver, and I got to meet Lauren from Unraveling the Pattern. He was the one that Amazon asked to host that one, and Alyssa from One Power Ballads. I got to meet both of them in person for the first time at that event. We had a great time. Who else was there? Sam Ho from Water and Shade was there.
Right.
It was great. That was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. We ran around. We talked to a bunch of people in line. Got to watch the first two episodes. It was a party. It was fantastic. And then afterwards, I hosted. Videos
of Josh running up and down the line.
Does Josh ever stand still? Like, you know, I've watched you guys try and do your Couchcom recordings at JordanCon, and he's there like jumping around.
Even when he does sit in the same spot, he like vibrates like a tuning fork. Like, you don't need to buy like a vibrating seat massager if you have Josh sitting next to you, especially after Starbucks.
Honestly, knowing you two and Black Tower, I thought that was going somewhere very different.
We're still working on that partnership with Adam and Eve. We don't have it yet.
What happens in the tower stays in the tower.
Fair. Totally fair.
Saber neighbors for life. No, and then I hosted out of my house. I hosted a Wheel of Time season one premiere party for when it was available to the public. And we got those first three episodes. And all the Black Tower podcast assembled upon my house. And I had other friends over there. Morshadi was in town.
Nice.
It was a lot of good fun. We had like 8 people in my basement. No, we had like 12 people in my basement watching the Wheel of Time. And it was a good time. It was a good little party.
Love that. Absolutely love that. It's interesting that you mentioned Morshadi, and we did bring him up earlier. Morshadi is a prominent figure in your Discord server.
He is.
Morshadi is, now correct me if I'm
wrong.
Don't
let him hear this episode.
He is the fact checker, Mahao.
Yes.
I would like the origin of this story. So I'm so glad you brought up him in that, because that was like, I wasn't sure how it was going to segue from this question to that question. And I was like, Josh, bring in the goods.
So Morshadi is, first off, ridiculously smart. Okay. The dude is just sharp as a razor. And we would be recording, and we would say something, and he would, not only would he drop in our Discord, well, actually this, but he came correct with sources.
Wow.
And it was almost always quotes from Robert Jordan, passages from the book, and it was always just boom, 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 just instantaneously as we were recording. And so we started making the joke that we need to actually do some research on these things so that Morshadi stops fact-checking us. And he just, he became the fact-checker Mahal.
That is amazing. What's been a moment you've really hated that he's come up with the goods, and you've been like, damn it, why? I really didn't want to be wrong. It's the one that comes to mind. Like, I was listening to a video that the Lightspoke put out for Tokoromero for their anniversary, and there was this whole barber conversation, and I missed it initially on the recording when it happened, but there was like, you know, there are no barbers in Wheel of Time, and then they, you know, went and found it in the books type thing. Like, is there a moment that really frustrated you? Like, damn you, Morshadi, you didn't, why are you right? I wanted to be right.
Literally every time. Oh,
there's an abundance of times. Normally when we're doing like one of our kind of more, what we call our metaphysics episodes, where we just explore kind of like how things work. And it's very much more theory driven than anything else. And there's been at least 2 or 3 moments that I know I've had an idea or a thought, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And about 5 seconds after I say it, Morshadi posts 16,000 sources as to why it can't possibly be true. And it's a love-hate thing, because I love that there's somebody that not only knows that much or can pull up that much about the Wheel of Time, but also somebody that enjoys listening to us enough, despite the amount of corrections he has issued to us.
Yeah, I can we'll see that being frustrating. Like, yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah. But I love it also, because it's like, Now there's plenty of times. Like, if I like the idea enough, I'll just be like, look, I get that it's not possible. However, it will be my headcanon. And I'll jokingly say things like, oh, well, Brandon's wrong or Robert Jordan's wrong.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What does RJ know, right? Come on.
Yeah. What does he know about his own series?
I actually have one that's actually kind of funny. It's actually the kind of the opposite of what you were saying, Andrew. And I remembered it as you were describing it, because we were talking about the nature of channeling, right? And we were like, what exactly is channeling? Is it the body, the mind, the spirit? Is it a combination of the three? And we were like really delving into it. And I was so excited to be like, I really love this conclusion we've come to, because it really makes sense with me. And I'm trying to think, I don't think anybody else has presented this. Like, it really felt like we had something kind of unique. And then in comes Morshadi with the freaking reference. And it was exactly what we had just figured out. So it was like kind of cool, because we were like, oh, we're on the right track. But at the same time, yeah, you didn't figure anything out. You just paid attention to the books. Oh,
well, all right, well, do things like, like figure out or finally find like something like somehow missed our notice for the years we've read it. Cause there's definitely not like a ton of information, but, is this full spoiler?
This is full spoiler. Yes.
Okay. The knowledge that, Luce Theron came to the Hall of Servants and was like, we just need to attack the Dark One. And they were like, no, we should try this first. And he actually agreed to wait because he was outvoted. And then the city where the Chodan call access keys were manufactured and kept and hidden was overrun and overtaken by the forces of the Shadow. Actually, I think it was like Samael and Demandred were two of the generals that took it over. And then once the access keys were lost, is whenever he came back to the Hall of Servants, is like, okay, I waited for your option B. Or your option A, now it's time for option B, we have to go and attack. So it makes Luce Theron seem far less of an arrogant ass.
Wow.
By him actually like being like, no, I'll wait. Oh, we can't do that anymore because we couldn't defend the area because we're losing horribly. And we'll be like, we didn't know that. Or something similar to that level of knowledge. And Morshadi will like pop out of nowhere and be like, oh yeah, no, that's right here. And it's like, I almost look at him like, I would love to see a competition between like Sarah Nakamura and Morshadi. Who can get stumped first?
Trivia night.
What I'm hearing.
I have no confidence on who it would be.
Yeah, because normally people, like, when they go to a Wheel of Time trivia night, they're like, I need Morgan. Podcast of the Dragon.
Yeah, yeah.
Morgan's got to be in my team. What I'm hearing now, if Morshadi is an option, I'd be like, dude, over here, please. Like, where are you sitting?
If you can get Morgan and Morshadi on a team,
hang
you're
it
overpowered
up.
And you're going to be investigated for doping, is how
brain doping.
That's amazing. I love it. We do a quiz at Malkyricon every year, so perhaps I should be like, hey, get Morgan, Morshadi, and Sarah in the chat together and be like, write us the world's most difficult.
Oh, damn.
That would be so cruel, but really entertaining to be like, watch everyone. Like, how? This is what? Where? You know?
I love it.
All right. We're kind of getting to the end, but I have a couple of questions I want to finish off on. You guys both love the ink. And I know that there's some Wheel of Time ink in there. As Andrew flexes his arm up on SEO.
Not of which you speak.
You know not of which I speak. Well, then this should be an easy answer for you then. Do you guys have a favorite, and maybe we'll go to you first, Josh. Do you have a favorite piece of Wheel of Time ink?
Like on me or just one that I've seen?
On you.
So I actually don't have any Wheel of Time ink yet.
What? I thought you did.
I do not.
Perhaps I've seen you talk about it and that's why I thought you
did. Yeah. So right. What I've got is I've got a shoulder piece that is currently down to here. And what it was originally going to happen is it was going to be, you know, tree roots down to here.
By the way, and so then I wanted the Ouroboros. And then mid forearm.
Oh, yes, down to my mid forearm.
Yeah.
And I wanted the Ouroboros from the show to be the serpent circling the roots of the great tree. Cool, right? I thought that was a pretty good idea. But recently, it's come to my attention that I might have to rethink that design. And instead of the dragon circling the roots at my forearm, maybe the dragon is coming out of the tree and the head of the dragon is on the back of my hand, similar to an Aiel clan chief. And that might be my Wheel of Time callback. And I'm kind of in love with that idea, and that might be what I do.
Okay, that's very, very cool. And any ETA on this? Is this next Gathering Madness? Is there going to be a tattoo-wise there?
Hopefully.
All right.
Someday.
Ask me your questions while I eat hot sauce and get tattooed.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that sounds like fun. Now, Andrew, you definitely have some Wheel of Time tattoos.
Oh, yeah.
A couple.
He's got a couple.
Couple dozen per square inch, maybe. I know it's tough to pick a favorite sometimes, but do you have a favorite one of the Wheel of Time ones that you've got?
If I had to go with a favorite, honestly, it's gotta be the dragon, which I have on the inside left forearm. If you've ever seen or read any of the descriptions of the dragon that's on the dragon banner, that is the dragon that Robert Jordan described, that exact design is what I have. And it's probably my favorite because it's also the most independently intricate of the ones I have, because it actually has the scaling on the body of the dragon. It's not just the symbol of a dragon with like it all shaded red. It's actually got all the scales. And that was the first ever two appointment tattoo I had, because other than the kind of color wisp of smoke that represent the different weaves of the One Power that I have, I got those later. But every other tattoo on my arm that is Wheel of Time, I got in one session, except for the coloring on the dragon. So that was an 8-hour session of tattooing, which was both easier in ways and harder in ways that I didn't expect. And it doesn't help that the front paw or claw of the dragon is right at the ditch.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't know what the ditch is, that's the inside bend of the elbow.
Right.
Very tender for most people. Does not feel good. Hurts. no me gusta.
No.
But yeah, that's definitely my favorite personally. I will say, though, that the wolf head gets recognized more, especially because I wear a Gungnir necklace a lot of times, which is Odin's spear. So a lot of people will look at that and be like, oh, are you Norse pagan? And I'm like, no, but it's neat.
Yeah.
But a fair number of people do see, I have two scrolls. One says Dovian Isitobi Sagin. And a lot of people are like, what language is that? And I have to go into a whole explanation of what the old tongue is.
It's a made-up language from a book.
That's right.
Yeah. Amazing. I love that. Yeah, you have some incredible tattoos. Do I see... Is that the red hand on your upper arm there?
Oh, yeah. So
it's, yes, it is.
I brought the design, the kind of angular design of the red hand to the artist. He's like, that's cool, but I have another idea. And it's legitimately just a bloody handprint with, like, blood running down from it. And he was like, that's my idea. And I was like, I like your funny words, magic man.
Nice. I love that. That's great. Yeah, folks, if you ever bump into Andrew, I mean, Josh also has some great tattoos as well. I apologize for not realizing you didn't have any Wheel of Time ones yet.
No, you're good.
I've definitely seen you're you talk about them. The that's, yeah. I'm seeing it. Yeah, that's it. I'm just I'm going through the columns a second time and seeing the tattoos he's getting. So, but yeah, they both have incredible ink, guys. So
if you see me and you want to see them and you want to look at them more in depth, please don't hesitate to ask me. I'm not going to be like offended or weird about
touch them, lick them, you know,
caress gently.
Yeah.
Stick them in a stew.
Yeah. I've just now looked at chat. I've been ignoring the live chat because I've been looking at the guys. Thank you for everyone who's listening. Yes, Chris does need to run the Watt Wiki there for the Mercury Gun chat. It is a long sitting, and apparently I live vicariously through my tattooed friends. Funny that Sulin, who has the entire Randland map tattooed on her upper arm, would say that. So,
yes.
Yeah. I do not have any ink. I need to correct that at some point.
That actually might be my favorite, like, out in the community, out in the world tattoo that I've seen. That's really cool.
It's pretty incredible. Folks, if you ever bump into Sulin and see the tattoo, she has a secret little tidbit of knowledge about it that she may or may not share with you. It depends on the day. Some days she's okay with it, other days she's not. She just put in chat that I'm a bastard.
She did not tell me the secret information when I saw it at WattCon.
Right. Well, you know, you've got to really know your shit. Like, more Shadi would notice it, for example. So, you know, we'll leave it there. I'm setting her up. All right, final question, guys. I really like this question. It gets some interesting answers. Sometimes it stumps people. Sometimes it doesn't. So, if you need a second, it's totally okay. But
put on my thinking cap.
Yeah, maybe a little. Guys, what is the one question that you wish I had asked you tonight? And how would you have answered it?
Oh.
I both love you and hate you for that. The final question is, come up with a question and answer it.
Right? You're a mad genius.
I mean, I can't complain because I did, like, pull a bit of a mad hatch and semi-interview you on your own show.
Yeah. Like, I've seen him do that. He's done it to me. I've seen him do it. I was like, nah. If it happens again, I'm going to call him out on it. And now
it's hard for him to turn it off. Like,
it is so hard for him to turn it off. He does it all the time. It's hilarious in a great way. So.
And he's very good at what he does, too. So
he is. Oh, yes.
Gosh. Let's see. Well, being as how we bonded over food, it would have been cool for you to ask me what kind of peppers I have in mind for the next batch of taint sauce.
Hey, Josh.
Yes?
What kind of peppers do you have in mind for the next batch of taint sauce?
And see, my answer is hot ones. Because, look, I had a Carolina Reaper plant in my garden, and that was going to be the peppers that I used. And that failed spectacularly. I got lots of blossoms, did not get any peppers. Boom. So now I'm kind of at square one. What I'm thinking I'm going to do is probably going to get like some Szechuan chilies or some bird eye chilies or something like that. Something that's got a nice kick to it. And this year, instead of a spicy sweet heat, I think I'm going to go with more of a buffalo sauce.
Ooh, buffalo heat. Yeah, I like a good buffalo heat. So I look forward to trying that. Nice. Andrew, you look like you're still thinking. It can be anything, by the way. Like, folks have come up.
I got it.
Like, oh, you got it? Okay. I love it. Bring it.
Yeah, yeah. No, so the question is, how are babies made? No.
Wheel of Time? Or, you know.
I guess the question would be is, if I had an hour to sit down with Robert Jordan and talk about the Wheel of Time over a drink, what drink would I bring for the discussion?
Nice.
That's a good one.
Wonderful thing to have. I would say probably some form of whiskey, knowing you, but I'm curious what you would actually answer that.
You're not wrong. It is absolutely some form of whiskey.
I hope he's going to tell us which whiskey now.
No, I am.
You're like, that's not the question you asked me.
Very Andrew right there. Whiskey.
It's an Islay single malt Scotch whiskey. Very popular. Ron Swanson made it very popular with Parks and Rec. Lagavulin 16. And I choose that because it is a cultured whiskey, meaning that it is from, like, across the pond from mm-hmm. us, including Robert Jordan, being from the U.S., obviously, probably. If you didn't know that, Robert Jordan's from the U.S. There you go.
Little tidbit and, information.
I wonder if Moshadi knows that tidbit.
Michael Kramer enjoyed it at WattCon because people were kind enough to surprise it with me for my birthday. So I shared some with Michael Kramer. So I would like to think that Robert Jordan would appreciate the very smooth but strong peatiness and smokiness of the Lagavulin. And it's just one of my favorite sipping whiskeys that tells a tale of its own that I feel would fit the mood. And it's also strong enough proof that maybe he would let a couple secrets slip. Who knows? Nice. Depends on how fast Robert Jordan sips. I mean,
is this
he's a vet, so it could be pretty fast.
Yeah, this is RJ's version of Rafe's G&Ts, you're thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love this. I've asked you to tell me the question you both wanted me to ask, and it's been food and drink. It's perfect. This is absolutely all of our interactions. There's always food mentioned. There's always drink mentioned. So this is absolutely perfect.
Because we are, all of us, hobbits.
Yes, yes, we are all hobbits. Very, very true. You guys are very tall hobbits, I have to say. Like, you know, you've been drinking that the Ent draft. Yeah, yeah, the Ent draft. Yeah, you've been very, very much in
hitting
that.
It hard. Yeah, hitting it hard.
It's definitely more than sipping that one. So, but yeah, no, guys, it's been great. Like we say, it's been a very long time, but I look forward to it not being so long next time. And I look forward to seeing what you guys come up to and what you shave at WotCon. Sorry, WotCon. Although maybe we should get you shaving stuff at WotCon as well. Like,
hey, you know, there you go.
Get you on stage. Well,
I will say, with regards to shaving things, you did your Shinarin undercut.
I do have the Shinarin undercut, yes.
And I kind of got to thinking about it, and I was kind of like, huh, maybe I could see how that looks on me. So if I show up with a Shinarin undercut.
It sounds far less exciting than actually is. I didn't do it because I'm like, oh, I'll get Shinarin cut. It was getting really long and horrible around my ears. So I was like, I wanted to tidy up, but I wanted to keep the length. And the Shinarin undercut kind of fit that.
And it won.
Yeah, and it won, and it's a look I think I'll keep for a while. So, yeah, the hot seamer trend, as Ash Kirby just mentioned. Yeah. So, yeah, no, guys, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for joining me. If you're not familiar with Black Tower, folks, it's a whole bundle of chaos in the best possible way. So please go check them out. Your podcast drops. I know you record on Tuesdays.
Yep.
But when does the podcast actually drop?
On Fridays.
On Fridays. Nice.
Yeah, both in audio format, anywhere that you can find any of your podcasts that are on the regular interwebs. I don't know about your dark web podcast. I'm sure that's a thing. And we also do YouTube videos where if you just want to stare at us while we talk, you can do that as well.
You can check out the luxurious mustache that Andrew is cultivating right now. So,
yeah. Don't forget to like, subscribe, all that fun stuff. The Malkier Talks.
Oh, I mean, is this the back and forth promo thing now? I mean, you need to like and subscribe to their YouTube channel when you're there, folks. You know, rate their podcast. Rate this podcast while you're there.
Yes.
Come join us at What a Holiday. Like I said at the earlier, folks, if you're listening when this drops, because unlike last week's episode, which I run behind on thanks to Mount Kirikon stuff, this one will drop on time on Sunday. If you're listening to it on drop day or any of the following 5 days, What a Holiday is coming up. So please come and join us December 2nd, 7:30 Eastern, where you will see myself, Andrew, and Cheyenne kicking off the fourth. Andrew, it's the fourth What a Holiday.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's gonna be awesome.
Crazy to think it's only 1 year younger than my own podcast. Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, kind of.
Kind of, yeah. Ish.
Ish.
So we've got the map to give away. Jane is trying to get us some incredible prizes to give away. We are going to be giving away the snack water calendar that Taylor Napier is signing for us.
We're just gonna
have an incredible time. I've teased it a couple of times. Kevin and I are going to be doing skits that you can suggest. That's to kick off the Sunday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern. So God knows
we're continuing the mug tradition.
Yes, the mug tradition. Andrew does.
Eight of your choice of the frosty mugs from New Creations by Jen.
Yeah.
But they don't all have to be different. If you want eight, all of the sub mug, maybe for your own podcast.
Hey, hey, hey.
Or if you want to order eight Black Tower podcast to give away to your friends.
Yeah. I remember that the three occasions we've done it in the past, every time someone, I believe, has said, like, well, I have to get the Black Tower one and I have to get the Malkier Talks one, obviously.
Obviously.
So maybe.
Maybe we should say, like, your choice of six, but you get eight mugs. Just one will be Black Tower, one will be Malkier.
Yes, absolutely. And Bane in chat who's listening is asked, will there be an Andrew song? Andrew has been incredibly busy in recent times, but he is trying to work on a song. He has told me there will not be a video, so I will try to create that. Alternatively, if he is unable to get us a song in time, which, you know, obviously we can't, you know, he does that out of the generosity of his own time and effort every year. If he's unable to do that for us, we will be using previous songs that he has created for us and having a bit of like nostalgia moments with them. But if he can get us a song, then I will make a video for it. But for every £1,000 we raise, we will reveal one of the remaining 10 snack order months that we have not revealed, because we showed off mine and we showed off Brian. Obviously, we put it together, but there are still 10 months that you have not seen, and for every £1,000 we raise, we will reveal one of those. A lot of fun things happening at Water Holiday. It is jam packed with stuff. I don't know how we're going to keep it all under control, Andrew. It's going to be bad.
Mix that in with all the folks that come in and do like their time, and they do like random giveaways or auctions, mm-hmm. or whatever during theirs. I know I've got an idea for us to do that'll be pretty unique to a degree.
Love that.
I think. I don't know. But we'll see. It's all going to be a fun time. And ultimately, it all goes to a good cause, because this year we're splitting it
yes.
between Lightweaver Foundation and you know the actual acronym. I'm bad. I know it's the group that supports the SAG strike.
It's the Community Entertainment Fund, or the Entertainment Community Fund. I can't remember which way it goes. But yeah, folks, I know the strikes are over with SAG, and it's amazing that they've managed to strike a deal that, you know, supports them in the future. But just like we say, just because the strikes ended doesn't mean suddenly everyone got money drop on their doorstep. And, you know, this is the worst time of year for people in that industry to get jobs. So there's a lot of people still in need of support. So we're continuing with our initial setup to split the donations. And we will be doing that. And yes, so many things are going to happen. It's going to be probably the craziest 24 hours we've done so far. So I'm very excited. But that's it for today, folks. So go do all the great things. Like, subscribe, go to YouTube, like, subscribe, rate the podcast, both for the Black Tower and for myself, Malkyrie Talks. Come join us for the Water Holiday. MalkyrieCon tickets are out, folks, if you haven't got them yet and you want to come to Prague next September. And not just come to Prague, but hang out with Guy Roberts. Then
yes!
Join us in Prague. Go to MalkyrieTalks.com/MalkyrieCon and you can grab your tickets there. And there's a wonderful bio of that guy on there. He sent me a bio to put up. He's got his own special page. I learned some things about Guy Roberts. I had no idea. So, yeah.
My poor PTO schedule. Jesus.
Yep. I know, right?
Yeah.
I got talking to my boss today. And I was like, I got like a convention, a wedding, and a graduation all in July, consecutive weekends. He was just like, oof. So yeah, I'm going to take some unpaid PTO. And he's like, yeah, we'll work it out. So it's fun.
I might have to join you on that.
Fair. All right, folks. So join us there. And until next time, may you always find love, water, and shade. Thank you so much for listening to Malkyr's Wrap-Up. If you'd like to support me, please head over to Patreon, where you can sign up and listen to the podcast as I record each week at any level. And thank you so much. Please follow the account on Twitter, join me on YouTube once in a while, and leave a comment and tell me what you liked and what I missed, because I'm sure there was plenty. But until next time, folks, please find love, water, and shade.